District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32, by today's business leaders.
Welcome back to District 32 Radio. I'm Jackie Campbell, and I'm joined today by Jen McGinley of Jen McGinley Copywriting. Now, she is an expert in copywriting, and we think we know what copywriters do, but after this, you'll realise that in actual fact, we were very misinformed. Jen, welcome.
Thanks, Jackie.
Now, we talk about copywriting and throw it away like we're saying, oh, we're buying a bag of jelly beans. But what is copywriting? Or what is copy to start with?
Yeah, well, it's a very good question, and most people don't know, including my friends and family, they don't know what I do. Not offended in the slightest, even though I've told them many, many times. And then I stop when the eyes start to glaze over. A copywriter is basically someone who writes about your product or your business and does it to educate or to entertain or to create some kind of conversation around your business. It can be used to sell directly, so it can be very, very clearly sales copy, or it can be a bit cleverer and it can be more like content around a certain product or a service. And it can cover many things. It can be your website can have copy. You can have a marketing leaflet that's classed as copy. You can have little advertising slogans on your Facebook ads or pages, social media. That's all copy. Anything that's written that's to do with your business is copy, and I write those words that make the copy, so I'm a copywriter.
Well, that sounds like a very logical explanation. Okay, so we're not talking about interviews, we're not talking about scripts, we're not talking about anything in that space. It's actually the written word that you might pick up and a third party can read for other purposes of, as you say, education. Yep. Or sales or something along
absolutely
those lines.
Absolutely. It could be a blog, for example. So blogs can be educational, but they can be there to entertain as well and to really inform people. The whole thing nowadays is to be part of your intended audience's life and help them out with their struggles. So if you have a product, you don't just want to talk about your product and your copy. You want to talk about how your product helps their life and, in fact, how they can use that product in a different way, like a product hack. So it's about cleverly adding value to people's lives without seeming like you're selling your own product or service, which you are in the long term kind of way, but copy and content is all about building relationships with your target audience.
Okay, so when you're talking about building these relationships, is that sort of with a long-term goal of being able to perhaps sell at a later stage, or is it all just about keeping them entertained?
Yeah, it can be both, actually, because sometimes copy needs to inform. And, for an event, for example, an event copy needs to say, here's the date of the event, here's the ticket price, and here's where you can buy it, here's what you'll get. That's information, but within that, this kind of step before the informational stage is to drive people to the stage that they want to buy. And before that, you've maybe done some blogs to build up people's interest, to entertain someone, to then say, oh, I want to find out more about that event. I'll keep reading and I'll click through. So it is very much the long game, and it's about being part of your customer's journey, your customer's life, to entertain, inform them, and to add value. Who's got time these days to read things? Okay, we all want to read funny things, we've got time for that. But if you know your audience and you know what sort of problems they've got in their day in relation to your product, you can give them a little hack to help them along in their day, and they're going to remember that, and they're going to think, oh, I'll come back and I'll have a look at that Facebook site or that website. And it's with the aim of driving the traffic to the website, to the sign up for your email page. And in a study that was conducted actually recently, and this is the science bit, basically assessed the impact of content on customers, potential customers, and guess what it found? Study participants in this specific study were 131% more likely to buy from a brand after they read content from that brand. So by content, that is not just, here's a bed, buy it, it costs this, and you can buy it from here. So content about a bed might be 10 ways to sleep better at night. You go, oh, that's, I'm having trouble sleeping, I'm going to read that. And then you'll remember it, they helped you out, and you'll go and find out about it. And 78% of people in that study said that they found the brand helpful. Now, you always want to be thought of as helpful as a brand to your customers, don't you? and 64% found that the brand was trustworthy. So you've ticked loads of boxes there. You know, you're in their life, you've been helpful, and you're trustworthy, and then you just have to win them over.
You have to win them over.
You have to win them over.
So it's that convert at the end. The motivation really for most business copy, for want of a better word, just to narrow it down, is really ultimately to make that sale.
Absolutely. And I think it sounds like a bad thing to say it, but of course all businesses exist to make sales, and it's how they go about that. And you've got all kinds of products, from really inexpensive products to whopping great, you know, you've got holidays, you've got electrical products that, they're a significant investment. So different types of products require different types of building up to the sales page, you know, and things like that. But you've always got to think about and address your copy to your customer. Don't just write your copy to everybody. Don't try and solve everybody's problems, and don't just try and appeal to everybody, because you're not going to do that. And then you're going to appeal to no one. So pick very carefully, identify who your customers are, and you could have several different groups of customers. And that's like that word that we hear more often now, the avatar. So you have your avatar, which is like your ideal customer. So you can even draw them a picture, you know, all these fancy apps that you get, you can create them, you know, their age, their lifestyle, how many children they have, what social media sites do they hang out on, what do they watch on Netflix. Really go deep with the knowledge of your customer, and then you can target your copy straight to that person and be in their life and show that you understand them. And people love that. But yeah, the end game is to effectively sell them your business or your product.
Fantastic.
The copy.
Great advice. So when you are finding someone to copyright for you, if you don't have the time or the expertise to do it yourself.
Sure.
Because, of course, you're looking for something which is effective in this space, not just lots of words on a page which people will trundle through. What are you actually looking for? Because you need effective, solid, you know, good, for a better want of a better word. We're not talking about the ethical side of things necessarily here. What is this good copy, and how do you find someone to do that for you?
Well, certain copywriters will have a niche. So you might find a copywriter who has written lots and lots of copy for a specific type of industry. So they'll have done lots of research into that industry. They will understand it. They'll understand the pain points of the customers. They'll understand any legislation, things like that. So someone that has written copy in your area is a great place to start. Find someone that's perhaps written copy before, or even worked in your area before. Many, many copywriters have had jobs and careers before they were copywriters.
Not real jobs, surely.
Not real jobs, but yeah, just it was all leading up to this moment. It was all leading up to...
It was research. We'll put it down as research.
It was research, and that's it. It's a journey, and people realise, well, you know, I like to write, and I like to write about this industry, and they realise they can turn that into a business and write for other people. Because like you say, if people enjoy writing, and of course they have their own business, then by all means write it about your own business. But if you don't have the time to do it, then you're not in business to write, are you? You're in business for the reason you went into your business. So get someone else to do it, and then it will get the time it needs, it will get the expertise it needs, and it deserves, because it's your business. It deserves to have the best online, because it's absolutely vital that your online presence is as good as your product.
Fantastic. Just the thinking there, if I'm finding someone who is A, experienced in my industry, and B, has the time to write well, does that mean that the copy that they're writing for me is going to sound similar to the copy that they're writing for everybody else who, say, I've got a computer-based company?
Yep.
All of the copy that they write for computer-based companies, because that's their niche,
sure,
is going to sound similar?
No, it's a great point, actually, and you would think that that would be the case, but it's a copywriter's job to never do that, never duplicate the copy. There will be certain elements for certain industries that doesn't change, because you can't get away from that. But what a good copywriter will do is will talk to each business about their brand. And one financial advisor will have a very different set of clients to another financial advisor. And it's very important that the copywriter understands the clients of the financial advisor to then appeal to them in the copy. So, for example, you could have a financial advisor who appeals to young families just starting out, just about to buy their first home. Mum doesn't work yet because she's bringing up the two littlies at home. Dad's working. They go to parks at the weekend. They have a lot of sporty interests. You know, the type of brand content and language you would use to speak to them is very different than if you would use to speak to maybe older clients who are more about shoring up their investments, looking to the future, and maybe a little bit more savvy about the world of finance. So you can kind of refine your language a little bit. So it's up to a good copywriter to talk to the business owners to find out who their customers are, and then you write the copy for those customers. So it's all about the brand and their customers. But it's a great question. Yeah.
So effectively, great copywriter will not only know about what they're writing and be able to write well, they'll also do it in the voice, for want of a better word, of their own client.
Exactly. And that's actually one of the things that I love doing as a copywriter, is to really get inside the brand. And I love it when I have a strong brand and someone comes to you and they're so clear on their brand, they're clear on their customers, they know their voice, they're conversational or they're really formal, they know who they want to talk to. But probably, maybe I would say 7 times out of 10, very precise, unlike me, I have to get that out of the business. I have to speak to the business owner and say, who are your customers? Who do you want to be your customer? What kind of work do you want to attract from this content? Because people don't sit and think about those things in their business every day. So when you have a copywriter, it's their job. A good copywriter will ask the business owner these questions, and it won't just be generic copy. It will be very specific and directed to that business's customers.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So if you go and invest all this time and energy and effort into having super duper copy written by a fabulous copywriter who really knows your industry and really gets the whole side of things, that sounds like you've got it all organised and the world's just going to fall in line and do exactly what you want it to do. But what's the impact in having rubbish copy out there circulating?
Well, crickets, silence. Basically, if your copy is poor, then the effect is that people won't continue to read, for example, your website. If you have poor copy on your website, now we'll take it back to the basics. Poor copy starts with poor grammar, poor punctuation. Now, for a start, Mr. Google doesn't like poor spelling and poor grammar. And that, to me, that's enough of a reason to make sure your spelling's right. Now, it's easy enough to do a spell check, but it doesn't always take into account the grammar and things like that. So, number one, if you have grammatically poor copy and bad spelling on your web copy online or on your social media, the search engines aren't going to find you. So that's number one. You are not going to inspire trust in people if your copy is not good. You're not going to be useful to people, and your aim is to be useful to people and to be valuable and to add value to their life before they then make a purchase. So if you're not thinking about who you're writing your copy for, then people aren't going to think that you're relevant to their life. So they'll be like, well, I'll read the first line and then that's it. It's click. How easy is it to click away from a page? You know how easy it is. So basically you'll get low engagement. And we all know also how important ads are online. We can use ads to drive traffic and that's fine. But a copywriter would seek to always make sure the leads to your website, the clicks to your website have come from an organic method. And by that, I mean people have found you through using search terms. They've found that you are what they want to read about because it's valuable. So they've searched a term and you've come up. It's not an advert. And other people have commented on your content because it's so good and your copy's so good. And it could even go viral. People will share it. That's the ideal with your content and your copy, that people do share it and comment on it and start a conversation. And then you're going to be ranked more highly in the search engines. And at the end of the day, your business has to be online. Everyone has to be online these days. And you wouldn't have a horrible shop front for your business, would you? With horrible mannequins and with disgusting paint and like paint peeling and rubbish everywhere. So don't have it on your website. Don't have it on your socials. Make it as good as it can be. Poor copy, poor online reputation, and people will associate your brand with being boring, and no one wants that.
We perish the thought of a boring brand.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're supposed to be boring. Who's supposed to be boring?
I can't think of someone with a beige website.
Exactly. So, yes.
Though we can think of some industries that perhaps spring to mind as boring. That's not how we want to represent ourselves as business owners.
But exactly. And that's the whole job of a copywriter. They can find an angle in anything and can make anything sound exciting.
So you're telling me you can even make an accountant sound exciting?
Absolutely. And that's one of the niches that I work in a great deal is accounting and financial services. I can always find great angles in there.
Fantastic. So if that's the consequence of bad copy, mm-hmm. what are the things which go into making great copy? If you could only have three mm-hmm. things to look out for mm-hmm. in the next set of copy that you write or you review, mm-hmm. what are those three big things? We've already talked about spelling and grammar and getting the mm-hmm. basics mm-hmm. right. So two more.
Have a really great headline for any copy or any blog that you write, because if you're the title of anything that you write is going to appear on your social medias to drive people to your website, and it's a terrible title, no one's going to click through to see it. So I've even read in some journals and marketing reports that you should spend 80% of your time crafting your headline and 20% the copy. Which sounds,
seems a bit extreme.
It sounds incredible. And
fantastic headline, click through, what rubbish.
So exactly, you've got to be really careful, because your copy has absolutely got to deliver what the headline's also promised. But you can have loads of fun with the headline. So once, I always leave the headline to the end and I would write the copy and then play around with the headline. And you know, you've got to make it sticky. You've got to make it have, you know, maybe some words. Words would be good.
Considering you're writing copy, yeah. Other than that, all good.
Let's start again. Numbers in the headline is always a really good place to start, because people love, you know, lists, 7 ways to make sure you get enough sleep tonight. You know,
10 ways to annoy your copywriter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I can give you that list if you like.
Okay, cool. So great spelling and punctuation, fantastic headline, and
I would say pick an angle. Always have an angle with whatever you're writing. Have a point and get to it. Talk about it in the headline and then pick an angle. And always remember, someone that's going to be reading your copy thinking, so what? Make sure you answer that so what, and make sure you tell them so what. You tell them why they should be reading that content and why it's relevant to them. Because you've done all your homework and you've thought about who the audience is and why they want to know about what you're writing about. So consider the so what element. So you've got your grammar, your punctuation, your headline, and your so what.
And your so what. Fantastic. You've been listening to Jen McGinley from Jen McGinley Copywriting. Obviously a lady who really knows her text, really knows her copy, and really, I'm sure, can get her grammar and punctuation correct so you don't get kicked out by Google.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the Power of Connection.